I thank you for your prayer, Brother Beam. Good morning, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ. As we meet in his precious name, let's consider all that he has done for us. Am I getting through loud and clear back there? Way back there in the back aisle. Okay. Well, I have several demonstrations that I would like to present to the people today for your consideration. And anything that I may say from this pulpit is strictly for your consideration. I don't mean in any way to inflict my beliefs upon you as an individual. I believe that as many people are here and anything that is said, you can just about bet your bottom boots, shall I say, that you have just about as many interpretations of what's being said. So, I have here, can you all see this? It's a bunch of apples. Beautiful apples. And it's symbolic of something. And what would apples in your mind be symbolic of? Real loud. Fruits of the Spirit, that's a good one, but that's not the answer. I love you anyway. Pardon? Garden of Eden, right. Garden of Eden. This, you might say, in a sense, when you take a bite of an apple, you might think of the Garden of Eden. And this is where it all began. You might say, well, what began? Well, what is this? Right, shredded paper. Now, this shredded paper is all jumbled up. It's all mixed up. It's like a bowl of spaghetti. And this, from this, the world has gone to this. It's all mixed up. It's all going astray. And the preachers are behind the pulpits to give for your consideration what's the matter. What's the matter? I would like to show you some pictures. And we're going to be very democratic, and you can vote silently by raising your hand if any of these pictures offend you as Christian seeking minded people. I hope you can see that way back there, and if you can't, you can just come right up here. Can you see that back there? What is it? A fish in a bowl? Do you feel like a fish in a bowl sometimes? Now, if any of these offend you, you just raise your hand. Larry's already seen them. Oh, okay. You do. Got to get one picture that offends. See that way back there? This is what? Ten Commandments. Okay. See, the picture of the girl lighting the candle and it forming a cross did not offend. The fishbowl did not offend. The corn did not offend. And the two fishes did not offend, nor did the Ten Commandments offend. Well, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, young ladies and gentlemen, there's things going on in this world around you that maybe you're not even aware of, that you're not conscious of. There's many things we do in life that we do automatically. We don't even think about doing them. We just go ahead and do them. Our reactions are put on automatic. Well, let's see now. St. Anne. Does anyone know where St. Anne, Missouri is? You do? Okay. There's one. Now, in St. Anne, Missouri, this is what happened there. Nativity negated. Missouri town loses display in court. The nativity scene outside of City Hall in St. Anne must come down, but an evergreen decoration like a Christmas tree can stay. U.S. District Judge Charles A. Shaw ruled Wednesday that the nativity scene violates the Constitution's ban on government endorsement of religion. Shaw said he was influenced by another judge's order in September, said that the nativity scene last year outside the fluorescent City Civic Center was unconstitutional. What was the offense? It's something seen by the public, and it fosters the image that the city of St. Anne is favoring one religion over another, Shaw said. The evergreen is not included in Shaw's order. That's one thing. Too Christian. Albuquerque, New Mexico, a high school choir director was suspended after leading a concert that administrators said contained too many Christian references. Here in Manhattan, Kansas, the Ten Commandments shown on a monument that had been in place since 1958 was removed for a time and placed in storage, and then when it was to be replaced in its proper place, at its original place, people, the ACLU, came up in arms against it. The Ten Commandments should not be placed in a public place. School bus driver suspended for playing Christian music. Columbus, Indiana. Driver Renee Hensley was suspended for 3 days for playing the wrong style of music on her school bus. Hensley said she played what the children asked for, but Michael Cooper, superintendent of the Bartholomew Consolidated School Corporation, said Christian music was not appropriate on a public school bus. "We're not against Christian behavior," Cooper said. She failed to follow her very explicit instructions about the performance of her duties. Hensley had been warned earlier that a distributing Christian bracelets and giving pictures of Jesus to children who asked. "I don't talk about religion on the bus unless they bring it up," Hensley said. There are many other articles that the people at this day and time, in the time in which we live, need to be aware of what's going on around them. Well, here, does anyone know where this little town, just south of Springfield, Republic. You know where Republic is? Okay. Springfield, Missouri. Now I want to show you something here. This is a fish, correct? Would you say that it was a fish? Is it any kind of special fish? A whale, perhaps? Anyone know what that symbol? Go ahead.
I believe it's a symbol of Christianity.
That's correct. That's correct. This is a symbol of Christianity. And that comes down from the days of the Roman Empire. That's been a symbol. Now, in the Ten Commandments was handed down by whom? Moses. All through these many, many centuries, and people come down to the 1990s, now we're into the year 2000, and people are offended by the simple truth of Jesus Christ. Christian fish symbol causing small town trouble. The harmless looking little Christian fish symbol adorning Republic City Seal has brought hatred and harassment to the small western Missouri town, a federal lawsuit claims. The lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court by the American Civil Liberties Union on Wednesday says a woman who wrote in an editorial criticizing the fish lost her job at a local newspaper and saw her family subjected to harassing phone calls and hate mail. Okay, I just want to catch some highlights here. Mayor Doug Boatwright, who is traveling out of the state on business this week, and this was July 2nd, 1998, has said previously the fish symbol was only intended to show Republic's strong commitment to religion and not endorsed one religion over another. But the ACLU, said Miss Webb, a Wakan, hid her religious beliefs after learning of the symbol and told her children to lie if they were ever asked about their religious background. Wicca, that's W-I-C-C-A, is a pagan religion similar to the Darude, I never heard of it, faith. It adherent belief in the sacredness of nature and practices witchcraft as part of the religious observances. Now, you know what? Here is a person that complained about a Christian symbol, a town that had, what do they call that? What do they call a symbol? When you put up a sign, what is it? I'll get it. Anyway, they had this plaque out in front of the city. When you come into the city, you would see it. So now, this plaque was oval, and it had four different things within the oval. One was the state of Missouri, one was a hand laid out, the other was a fish symbol, and the other was evidently a family. Now, how, brothers and sisters, could that be offensive? None of the other things were offensive, only that Christian symbol. And this person that was a non-Christian complained. They had that sign removed. That's how powerful some voices are. Now, in this one, we have... Do you see any difference in this one? Any difference at all? Probably the people up here closer can. Yes. One has legs. And in the middle of this one, it says Darwin. Now, in the middle of this one here, All of these are Greek indications which says, well, early Christian believers said were said to draw the outline of a fish as a symbol of their beliefs. Letters in the Greek word for fish from an acrostic for Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Savior. That's what this fish has. These are things going on in the world as you sit right here. Bible Week halted by court ruling. Man wants to protect religion. In an in an advertent church-state controversy in Manhattan, Kansas, and that is a good opportunity to remember what the farmers of the Constitution were so worried about when they wrote the First Amendment. Folks in Manhattan are disputing whether a granite Ten Commandments monument that has stood outside the City Hall for 40 years should be removed. How would you vote? Should it be removed? Should it stay? How would you vote? Stay. Now let me ask a question. Oh, I should read you this. I have to read you this. This goes along with my question. Priest bans state from church in retaliation for ruling. Providence, Rhode Island. A priest who says the separation of church and state cuts both ways is barring state emblems and prayers for officials from the church in retaliation for a U.S. Supreme Court ban on commencement prayers. By the ruling last month that prayers at commencement exercise were unconstitutional, the court declared God is not welcome on public property or in public events. Said the pastor Edwin Mullen, pastor of St. Edward's Catholic Church. Mullen expected to hear criticism from his parishioners when he announced the ban during Masses last week, but he said, remarkably, most of the people said they agreed with me. Now, my question goes along with what that particular pastor said. Where were all the churches when all this was going on? When all these here symbols in the courts and everything was being said about no prayer in school, no Christian functions in school, banning of the Ten Commandments, where were all the churches? No voices were raised up. None whatsoever. Very, very few. Where were they? No wonder we're in the predicament we are. Worldwide. 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 And these things I bring out to you because we're living in a different time than we did 20 or 35 or even 2 or 3 years ago. We're living in a different time. Things are changing very rapidly. And that's why in the Book of Mormon on page 441, it advises the youth and those young and not necessarily youth about that high, but the older young. It advises them on page 441. And I'd like to begin how necessary it is today to do exactly as the particular scriptures say. So for those that wish to follow along, I'm on page 441. I'm going to begin at the 66th verse. 66th verse, page 41. Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart, for such shall find rest to their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God, yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. That is essential, to cry unto the Lord, to know the Lord, to get acquainted with Him, to get down on your knees or when you're driving in your car and say, Lord, I need help. I can't do this by myself, whatever the case might be. We've got to learn to do that. But man has learned more of the society's way of life to depend upon men of strength. And I'm talking about men of strength in the political process. Oh, remember, in verse 68, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto him for all thy support. Very, very important for all of us to remember. That's where we get our support. That's where we can go to when we are down and when we are heavy laden. To whom else would you turn to? Yea, let all thy doings, now get this, yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, and let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, and let thy affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord. Forever counsel the Lord in all thy doings, and he will direct thee for good. What does counsel the Lord mean to you? It simply means, Lord, going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'd like to do this, and here's the way I'd like to do it, and what do you think? Asking him what he thinks of what your doings will be. If someone, to the youth I speak now, if someone asks you of your peers to go to a place where you know mom and dad would not want you to be, what would the advice be for you to do? Go ahead, wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't be to go ahead. It would be to take mom and dad's advice and if you couldn't, take Jesus with you. Don't go. Don't do it. Don't let anyone pressure you into doing something you know that you should not do. Do not let anyone pressure you in that. No matter what it is, don't let them. Just do that which is right, just, and good before the Lord. You satisfy the Lord, and you're going to satisfy everyone else. Now here's good advice. Verse 70. Yea, when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. When thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God, and if you do these things, you shall be lifted up at the last day. Another important thing to keep in mind, found in Psalms 119. Psalms 119. In Psalms 119 and verse 4, it simply says this, Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Who is thou? Who is thou here? The Lord. The Lord has commanded us to keep His precepts diligently. Those things that He has laid down as guidelines for us, He wants us to keep diligently. Now, go over to Psalms 118 and verse 8. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Remember, in all thy doings, counsel the Lord. Okay, there. You know, let's go over to Luke 2. Luke 2, the New Testament. Now in Luke 2, we're going to begin at verse 7. Luke 2, verse 7. Very, very familiar story. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, it's very interesting to note here that when there was no room for them in the inn, I never noticed it before. Now I'm going to picture, it doesn't say, but I'm going to picture for your imaginations an inn. Now I take an inn to be a place where there were places to, you could eat, you could have, you know, drink your common drinks, your food, and a place to stay, and so forth and so on. Now if it was in the time of taxation, then those inns would be full. It much like the same thing when the Royals are playing or the Kansas City. What's the other team? Kansas City who? Chiefs, yes. Kansas City Chiefs are playing. The hotels and motels are all filled up. They're all filled up. But in this case, when Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem, they were going to be taxed. Now, the people must have been evidently real happy to be taxed because they must have flocked to that place and just filled that place up and couldn't wait to get taxed. Now, I'm just kind of jesting there. Now, here this lady walks in. It's obvious she's carrying a child. And then none of those people in that inn that had a room said, I'll let her have my room. That's because Scripture wouldn't have been fulfilled. He was born in a lowly place. He was born in a lowly place, brothers and sisters, boys and girls and young folks, to lift us up, to grant us the privilege of having eternal life, having our sins forgiven. He was born for that purpose. And lo, the angel of the Lord, verse 9, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I'm sure any of us that had an angelic visitation, and a light filled our bedroom, our home, our basement, or our automobile, we would be sore afraid. The first thing you probably would think is what? What did I do now? Minister come to visit you? First thing you'd say, what did I do now? Actually, you didn't do anything. I just wanted to get to know you better. And when I get to know you better, you get to know me better. I'll never forget the sister said, oh, we were all together one day, and a group of us. And I was kibitzing, and this one sister, elderly sister, said, boy, I always thought Tony was a stuffed shirt. I'll never forget that. Well, sometimes I may be hard to get to know, but I don't mean to be. After all, there was one time I was, believe it or not, for you that weren't here at the time, I was introduced as Tony Curtis. And you know, I guess you don't get much better than that. In verse 10, chapter 2 of Luke, it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Yea, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying. Well, the important thing there to remember in verse 11 is note what it says, for unto you, making it very, very personal, is born a Savior. Unto you is born this day with this babe. What are you going to do with Jesus? What is Jesus going to do with you? You know, let's see here. Well, when Jesus came upon the earth, Jesus was going to be walk the earth for 33 years and then he was going to be crucified. Then after he was crucified, what did he do? He rose from the dead. He rose. And he rose to be and sat on the right hand of a heavenly Father. And one day, we will all be standing there before him. And he will judge us of our works and our things that we said and what we did and what we didn't do and what we could have done. And what we should have done and didn't do. And then we shall call for the lawyers to represent us. And we want to get a very high-priced lawyer to represent us because he can persuade the Lord to justify our actions. Well, I don't think that's going to work. As a matter of fact, I know it's not going to work. I know that the Scriptures tells me that I'm responsible for me. I am responsible for my actions. I am responsible for what I say, what I do. And thus it should be. And when people try, you see, we have to be convicted. We have to be convicted of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have to understand that truth before we can accept that truth. We can't accept a truth because somebody we like, somebody that we admire, somebody that's in a high position says, well, we should do this or we should do that. It has to be on a personal conviction. A personal conviction is very, very, very important. And we know this to be true. Now, we want to go into Isaiah. Isaiah. Okay, in Isaiah, we'll read Isaiah 29, they start beginning at the 13th verse. Isaiah 29, verse 13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And brothers and sisters, I don't wonder that we're not experiencing that time. I believe according to Matthew 24 that we are in the time of sorrows. I believe that tribulations are upon us. I believe that those things that are to come upon this world and those things that we see within our government unfolding, those things that are not righteous before the Lord, that are not righteous before the people, are all signals and all things of the tribulations that we are in. I believe that we are in a greater part of tribulations today than we were, shall I say, yesterday. There's a great change in this world, as I started to say in the beginning of this sermon. There's a great change. The world is not the same. People are not the same. They don't treat each other the same. They don't think the same. But their hearts are far removed from me. Their hearts are far removed from me. Well, their hearts are... What's happening then? If their hearts are far removed from me, let's go to Psalms 119 again. Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 34. In conjunction with their hearts are far removed from me. Deliver me, is the plea, from the oppression of man. So will I keep thy precepts. Do you find it harder? You'll have to answer this for yourself. Do you find it harder to stay on the, what we call the narrow path today? Or is all the things that you see and all the things that are being we are being programmed with today from the outside world, so to speak, do they oppress you? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with the way things are going? Well, the oppression of man can make a big dent in our precepts, or in our servitude of God. They surely can. I want to go to Matthew 23. It always helps when you're in the right passage of Scripture. Verse, chapter 23, I'm going into verse 24. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within, the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. In other words, the Lord does not require or does not want just a person that is shining on the outside, a good person, a just person from the outside, but he wants a person that is also just and clean on the inside. The inside has to be as clean as the outside. And the inside that he's talking about is the heart and the mind. Now, as we go from day to day, and we come before the Lord, and as it says here in this particular scriptures about being cleansed, about being pure, about being clean. And when you think of clean, you might think of soap. But soap isn't going to clean the inside of the heart. It's just going to clean the outside. And you might think of another product called Sheer, great soap. It dissolves everything. But you know, this one and this one will not dissolve sin. Now we have another product here that we use for cleansing, and it's called cleanser. And this is for scrubbing. But we don't put that on us and scrub and say, well, I'm free of sin. No. We can't wash the outside. Well, we can wash the outside with this, but we can't wash the inside. And another product we have, Gain, does the same thing. It washes the outside, but doesn't wash the inside. There is only one thing, one product, that washes both the inside and the outside. And what is that product? The title of it is Repentance, Faith, upon who? Man? No. Upon Jesus Christ. And his precepts, and this are the only things that will make the human body cleansed, not only from the inside, but the inside out. This is the only thing that cleanses mankind. Man's product can't do it. But the word of the Lord can. I'm going to go to Peter in closing. Just reading one passage of Scripture, and I intend for this to go out basically to the young people. Remember, you are responsible for your own actions. You are responsible unto the Lord. And in this particular passage of Scripture, in chapter 5 of 2 Peter, I'm sorry, the first chapter, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." What are you to do? Be vigilant. Because the adversary, roaring like a lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. That's why you have to be vigilant at all times, wherever you are, with whomever you go with. Keep this vigilance about you. And remember, seek the counsel of the Lord, and He will direct you for good. And I thank you very kindly for your kind attention.